Heavenly Father, Lord God, creator of all things, we thank you once again, Lord, for returning breath to our body throughout the night, Lord, for protecting us when we couldn't protect ourselves while we slumbered last night, Lord. For the God that we serve neither slumbers nor sleeps. So we thank you, Father, for your protection over us and over our household, our families, our little ones, Lord God, our brothers and sisters, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for this day. We just thank you, Father, for preparing and having word today, Lord God, for your people, Lord God. For you are God that still lives, Heavenly Father, and you communicate to your people, Lord God. So we pray that this day, Father, that minds will be opened, that eyes will be opened, hearts will be opened, ears will be opened, Lord God, and receptive to the words of the Most High God, not the words of a man, but the words of the Most High God, who has set all things in order, who has created all things. So, Father, we give you all the praise and glory today. We pray that the worship was a sweet savor in your nose today, Lord God, in your nostrils. May have been pleasing to you, Father. Father, we pray for the other brothers and sisters who are on the road, who are spreading the gospel, Lord God. We pray that there will be people who will be there that will be receptive of the word, Lord God, that there will be people out there who are hungry for your word. For in the last days, there will be a famine of the word, Lord God. And people are out there hungry for the word, thirsty for the word, Lord God. So we pray over the services in Paris. We pray for the services in Corinth, Lord God. We pray for the brothers and sisters in Murfreesboro and in Athens, Lord God, that you will open doors and that you will rise up whomever you need to rise up, Lord God, that there will be weekly Sabbath services, Lord God, in those cities, Lord God. We also, Heavenly Father, pray for the brethren in Kenya and India, Lord God, for we are going through things over here, but we don't have it as bad as they do, Lord God. So may we continually keep them in our prayers and in our hearts, Lord God, to be praying for all people, Lord God. So we just thank you for this day, Lord God. We give you all the praise and glory. Father, we just have invited your spirit in today, Lord God, and we just pray that you will touch every individual, Heavenly Father, in here today, and it will be listening on CD, Lord God, for you know the needs of the people, Lord God, not me. So I pray that I will be obedient today, Lord, to you, and that there will be proof and there will be demonstration, Father, of how you listen to the prayers of your people, the concerns of your people, Lord God. You want to help your people, but we must be obedient to you. All things we ask, Father, in your name, we give all praise and glory to the Lamb of God. Through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Greetings to the scattered flock of God. May the Almighty Yah bless you and rest his shalom over everybody under the sound of my voice. The world anticipates their holidays and their festivals, but we as well should have anticipation and look toward our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. May we place our hearts and minds on the precious Lamb of God as we journey as individuals, households, as a church body, together to the Passover season. On the road to freedom, my brothers and sisters, we will encounter many adversaries, whether they be the Egyptians, the Amalekites, the mixed multitude in our midst. Our Father himself could be testing us. I'm here to tell you that we will not show fear. We will not be lacking in faith. We will not backbite each other. Instead, we will be gentle as doves with the wisdom of serpents. There will be peace on our lips, and the mind of Christ will be in our heart. Every second, minute, hour, day, week, and month, we will be combing the corridors and the chambers of our hearts, the attic in our minds, the basement of the members of our body. And we're going to get rid of stuff that we don't want people to know about. We're going to self-evaluate our own selves. Because I'm going to be honest with my own self. And I might as well have hammered the nails in his hands on the cross. I might as well have did it. I might as well have spit in his face. I might as well have mocked him. I might as well have hit him. I might as well have been the one to put the crowns of thorns on his head. I might as well have been the one to hoist him up on the cross, pull him up. I might have should. I was the one who grabbed that spear, pierced him in the side. I did that. So I'm going to look at me as we approach this Passover season. You can do what you're going to do, but I'm going to be a man, a son of God, and I'm going to evaluate my own self on what I had to do with the sacrifice of the Lamb of God for all people, for all time. But when that's over, I will rejoice like it's nobody's business on how he saved me, how he released me from Egypt, how he freed me from my sins, from my own problems and iniquities and infirmities that I have. He freed me from those. So I will comb my own self, my heart, my mind, my own body. And I'm a put myself, because there's nothing that I can do that can equal what he went through for us. But when it's over, I'm going to rejoice because I'm free. Amen. We have something to look forward to. So while the world does their own thing, their own ideas and festivals and holidays, fine for them. But as far as the God of the universe, the one who raised his son from the grave, that God, I'm going to do everything I can to get close to him as I can. I will make no excuses. I will rejoice with fellow brethren because he has pulled me out of darkness with a mighty hand. He parted water so I could escape death. He has been with me all the days of my life. All I got to give him is all I have. So regardless of old tactics or new strategies we face from the ugly one, we will march into this season with oneness of mind and the fullness of his spirit. Are you ready to embrace the challenge? Let's get into the word. I don't have to ask if people have been wrestling with principalities and the demonic realm, the enemy, the ugly one. I don't have to ask that question because we are approaching and going into the Passover season. And when you think about how we rejoiced and how we celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles and how the Mighty One's presence was in the camp and the things that happened during the feast, the spiritual things, the supernatural things that man can't explain, man would rather explain those things away. So what's going to be expected as we go into Passover? If he touched us that way for tabernacles, what will happen during Passover? Now, we don't know because we can't look down the timeline. The Father can. And our enemy is wise. That's by all I'll give him. He is wise. So he will keep us from being where we need to be during that time of the year. When you look at sports and you understand you have, you know, your preseason or scrimmages, then you start the actual season and you have the playoffs and stuff like that. Well, this time right now, this is preseason. Okay, it's going to get harder. The attacks will come harder. And people, the Father tests us. So we have to decipher between spiritual warfare. We have to decipher between the Most High testing us. We have to decipher between just our own choices. Sometimes you can walk into a ditch. You can do that. Sometimes it's not always the enemy. So we have to be wary. And that's why we have to keep peace on our lips. We have to be gentle as doves and wise as serpents, because in this time of the year, there will be the enemy, of course. The Father will be testing his people, because it is about us evaluating our own selves
And let's be honest, are we going to do there'll be some individuals out of the body that might go over and beyond, but what about the whole? It's about everybody. So there will be slackers. We're people. There will be slackers. So the Father has to test us. He will have to test us. And then we have to be wise and make right choices. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 23, please.
Deuteronomy 23. We were just talking about how his presence was in the camp during tabernacles. Deuteronomy 23, starting in verse 10. Give me amen whenever you get there, please. I don't want to leave anybody. Deuteronomy 23, verse 10. If there be among you any man that is not clean by reason of uncleanness that chanceth him by night, then shall he go abroad out of the camp. He shall not come within the camp, but it shall be when evening cometh on, he shall wash himself with water, and when the sun is down, he shall come into the camp again. Thou shalt have a place also without the camp whither thou shalt go forth abroad, and thou shalt have a paddle upon thy weapon, and it shall be when thou ease thyself abroad, thou shalt dig therewith, and shalt turn back and cover that which cometh from thee. For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp, to deliver thee, and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee, and turn away from thee. So we know for a fact that he was in the camp. Since he's in the camp, that makes the camp holy. Now, what are the expectations for Passover? If we want his presence in the camp, according to this, no uncleanness, can't be unclean, because he'll turn away from thee. He wants to be in the camp to keep you from your enemies, to restore, to save. Yahshua, Yah saves. Salvation. So we have to do our part. He'll do his. We have to do our part. I can remember back in 2004. That's when I graduated from McMurray University in Abilene, Texas. And I was headed to Clarendon, Texas for my first job, fresh out of college. And on the way to the school, my boss or my head coach was talking to me, and he said, he was giving me advice, and he said, even though we're a small school, we're a small college, Jeremy or coach, I want you to have high expectations. I want you to treat this place like you're at North Carolina or like you're at Duke. You're at a really big place, and you have to have high expectations. Then it was for that subject. But now, being in the Father and trying to grow closer to Christ, I was thinking about that the other day, and I should have high expectations. And not only should I have high expectations, but he definitely has high expectations. Probably higher than we can even imagine. So he's in the camp and he's holy. We want him in the camp. We need him in the camp. We can't survive without him in the camp. We're deer meat. We're deer meat out there, people. So he has high expectations for us. We have to meet his expectations. The one that you can't see. That one. Unless he allows you to see him, he opens up your spiritual eyes and allows you to see his glory, his presence. If we were able to see his glory and presence, how easy would it be to serve him? Because it would be awesome. Man, I saw the one who created everything. But that's not how it works, because he needs to know where you're at. So we have to be able to hear him, because he's talking to us. We have to be obedient to him.
The title today, the word of the Lord, is Embracing the Challenge, Our Burnt Offerings. Embracing the Challenge, Our Burnt Offerings. And it was interesting for me as preparing for this, because just like a lot of people, you read through your Bible, you go through the word, and you hit certain topics, right? Burnt offering, different things. And it's just kind of like, I'm going to keep on reading. You see it, but do you see it? You see it, but do you see it? And in preparation for this, you know, it's about halfway through the week, and I have not yet received the word. So I'm like, baby, wife, pray. We need to pray, because I ain't got nothing yet. And this is the reality of it, that weeks ago, months ago, as I'm reading and I'm just going through my word, you know, so on and so forth, and I keep seeing this about burnt, and it's something about the burnt off, it's something about it. And it's like, what is that? That's interesting, but I got to keep moving. So it's something about that. So in my heart of hearts, if I'm going to be a man about it, I knew what the word was. But it was a topic that I wasn't familiar with. And, you know, since I hold these opportunities to speak to the people, to go to the Lord and get bread from his table, then take that same bread and feed the sheep, I take that seriously. So, Lord, I don't know that much about it. It can't be that. Oh, yeah, it's that. And you're going to learn. I'm going to teach you, son. I don't see him. I can't see him, but I can hear him. Turn to Leviticus chapter 1. Leviticus chapter 1. Because we need protection in this time going into Passover, because we want to be as clean as we can. And the enemy is going to try to make us dingy, dirty, stinky going into Passover. He's slick, but that's it. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1. And the Lord called unto Moses, and they spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood around about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the altar. And the priest, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water. And the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And if his offering be of the flocks, namely of the sheep or of the goats, for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it a male without blemish, and he shall kill it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord. And the priest, Aaron's sons, shall sprinkle his blood round about upon the altar, and he shall cut it into his pieces and with his head and his fat, and the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But he shall wash the inwards and the legs with water, and the priest shall bring it all and burn it upon the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And if the burnt sacrifice for his offering to the Lord be of fowls, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or of young pigeons, and the priest shall bring it upon the altar and wring off his head and burn it on the altar, and the blood thereof shall be wrung out at the side of the altar. And he shall pluck away his crop with his feathers and cast it beside the altar on the east part by the place of the ashes. And he shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but shall not divide it asunder. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar upon the wood that is upon the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. What is all that? I want you to turn. We'll come back to Leviticus. Turn really quick to 2 Corinthians. We'll go over to the New Testament or the New Covenant or the Brit HaHadashah, however you want to look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Just give me a hallelujah when you get there. Y'all fast, y'all beating me. And I know where I'm going. Y'all beating me. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. For God loveth a cheerful giver. We'll turn back to Leviticus. And we'll see some examples of this, but when they talk about the different animals to be offered, obviously we have to kind of think for a second. Different time frame. So it's not necessarily gold and silver. Maybe it's my herd. Maybe that might be how I earn my gold and silver or earn my shekels. Okay. So if you are fairly wealthy, you need to be offering a bull. If you're wealthy, okay. If you're middle class, you need to be bringing sheep or goat. If you're poor, and if you can't do that, okay, then you need to bring the turtle doves and or pigeons. And that's why it has the different animals. There are different classes of people, and they're bringing their offering to the priests or the sons of Aaron. Okay, so we got that kind of laid out. Okay. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus chapter 6. So bring what you have. So we looked in 2 Corinthians, and it said being a God loves a cheerful giver. Okay? So just keep this in your head. What if you can bring a bull, but you bring a pigeon? What if you can bring a bull, but you bring a pigeon? Well, we're gonna get on that, young man. That's actually a good question. We're gonna get on that. We're gonna let the Lord answer these. So I'm pretty sure you do have some questions. I wouldn't be surprised if answers are in this word, honestly. So thank you, though. All right, Leviticus chapter 6, starting in verse 9. Command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night until the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments. He shall put off his garments and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp to a clean place, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it, and it shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar, it shall never go out. So there's an altar, and where you take your sacrifice to, and the fire on the altar never goes out. It does not go out. So these are fire offerings for the Lord. It's acceptable. It's pleasing to the Lord. This now makes the altar holy because the fire does not burn out. In Hebrews, is our God in heaven not a consuming fire? So the altar is holy. So that means that the offerings put on the altar going up to the Father, does that make them holy? If you noticed where it was talking about the priest having to change the garments just to take out ashes, changing clothes. The altar is so holy and the presence of the Father is so strong that they have to change clothes. They have to change clothes just for different parts of their duties. That's how holy this is. So when we're talking about the burnt offering and we're talking about embracing the challenge, how does a burnt offering for today, 21st century? We will get into that. We want to paint a perfect picture of the importance of altar and burnt offerings. Exodus 29. Exodus 29. Exodus 29 will start in verse 38. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day continually. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even. And when the one lamb, a tenth deal of flour mingled with the fourth part of hin or of beaten oil, and the fourth part of a hin of wine for a drink offering, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even, and shalt do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning and according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. And there I will meet thee with the children of Israel at the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. So the Father says himself that these things become holy. And something that really stuck out to me as I was looking at this is the word dwell in verse 45 and verse 46. And I don't have time. We had talked about the word dwell during the Feast of Tabernacles during a class, and it was Yashab. Dwell means Yashab. Let me just be obedient. The word Yashab is to dwell, means dwell. And the Father says he will dwell. He will dwell among the children of Israel, or today, the body of Christ. Dwell, D-W-E-L-L. The Hebrew for that was Yashab. Yashab. The last time I used the board, I did a terrible job. I have to apologize. I had to, I had notes on here on one thing and then something totally else up here. So I said, let me not do that again. Dwell, Yashab. And he says he says that twice, verse 45 and 46. I'm just going to put these words up here for you. Because something this morning, early this morning, well, before I get to that, to dwell, to remain. Young man had a question about the church. And we're going to see something in these words right here, to settle, to marry. Who are we supposed to marry again? So he wants to dwell with us. And the burnt offering jumps it all off at the door of the tabernacle. Keep door in mind as well. But these words, It blew me away when I first saw this, and I had no idea why the Lord wanted me to do that for the class. And this is why I always say that you just don't have an idea, you don't have a clue of what the Lord is working on, or we just have to be obedient. So when I'm going through this word and I see that, I know exactly what dwell means, because he's given me this already months ago. So I'm going to read these to you. Dwell, inhabit, sit, abide, down, remain, in, tarry. And we pray the Lord does not tarry his coming. Set, continue, place, still. I wish this board would stay still. Taken, ease, self, endure, establish, fail, habitation, haunt, make to keep house, that the ladies could probably figure, could find some deep revelation in that. Lurking, my favorite, marrying, and emphasized ing as in future, as in will be marrying, future. Who we're supposed to marry again? Return. Seat. Yashab, dwell. So he will dwell among us. Let's turn to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 46. Ezekiel 46. Ezekiel 46, verse 1. Give me a hallelujah whenever you get there. Ezekiel 46, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord God, the gate of the inner court that looketh toward the east shall be shut the 6 working days, but on the Sabbath it shall be opened, and in the day of the new moon it shall be opened. And the prince shall enter by the way of the porch of the gate without, and shall stand by the post of the gate, and the priest shall prepare his burnt offering and his peace offerings, and he shall worship at the threshold of the gate. Then he shall go forth, but the gate shall not be shut until the evening. Likewise, the people of the land shall worship at the door of this gate before the Lord in the Sabbaths and the new moons. Now, I hope some of us are paying attention. Now, at the door of the gate, at the door, or the door of the tabernacle, where they're bringing their offerings, there's burnt offerings going up for the Lord. They're taking what they have. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, a cheerful giver to the Lord. So now, it's not just killing animals. There's worshiping going on. There's worshiping going on an altar that fire doesn't stop burning. It's so holy, the priest has to change clothes over and over and over. And there's worshiping going on. And then the father said that I will dwell among the children of Israel, and they will know that I am their God. I will dwell with them. I will marry them. I will yashab my people. I will yashab the church. If they want me. So the burnt offering jumps it all off. You're bringing what you have, or whatever status of life, whatever your status quo is. You bring what you have. You're a cheerful giver. This is a holy time. The Father said he's at the door of the tabernacle. He's at the door of the tabernacle. When you hear that word door, that should ring a bell. Who's at the door? Turn to John. John chapter 10. Book of John chapter 10. Book of John chapter 10, starting in verse 7. Then said Yeshua unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. Burnt offering on an altar, the fire never stops. There's worshiping going on. And he's saying he's the door. And then we have right there in the Old Testament or in the Tanakh about, I will meet them at the door of the tabernacle. So when Christ says this, he knows exactly what he's saying. Because he is the Word made flesh. It's his word. So all that came before him were robbers and thieves. The ways, narrow. The world, wide. The way of the Most High, narrow, simple, simple. So this is how we connect burnt offerings and altar and what has been painted as, you know, killing and killing animals and all this different stuff. As no, this is going to bring us together in the presence. So the burnt offering is going to start all this thing off. Deuteronomy chapter 12. So now we have kind of tried to paint up a picture of the importance of the burnt offering. And no, I'm not saying go out and get you a bull. I'm not saying that, and we'll go over that a little bit later. Deuteronomy chapter 12, but it is important to the Father in heaven, and we know that Christ only does the will of who? His Father, our Father. These are my brothers and sisters. They do the will of my Father, our kinsman redeemer. So we're going to do what Christ did. Deuteronomy chapter 12. So how serious is this burnt? Is the burnt offering? And this is when I was reading months ago, caught my attention. It caught my attention. Lord was like, look, son. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 10. But when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety, there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall cause to name. Choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, and your heave offering of your hand, and all of your choice vows which ye vow to the Lord, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God, ye and your sons and your daughters and your men servants and your maid servants, and the Levite that is within your gates, for as much as he hath no part nor inheritance with you, take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest, but in the place which the Lord shall choose in one of thy tribes, there shall thou offer thy burnt offerings, and there shall thou do all that I command thee. So there's a warning, and when we know that when the Father says, thou shalt not, be careful, don't do this, we're going to do it. That's why the reason why we have the thou shalt not, because we want to do it, because we're in a sack of flesh. So what is this? The place that he chooses. And take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou see. So what is he talking about? What's going on right here? Let's look at 1 Samuel. Just keep that nugget in your mind. 1 Samuel chapter 15. First Samuel 15. Let me know when you get there. We'll look at verse 9 first. Verse 9, chapter 15. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen, of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused that they destroyed utterly. And we know at this part, Saul destroyed everything of the Amalek, of everything. Them, sons, daughters, animals, don't take nothing. Don't take anything. Gold, don't take nothing from them. Do not take it. Okay, and obviously Saul kept the best of the sheep. Oxen, he wanted to offer up offerings to the Lord. And we just read a thou shalt not. Turn to 22, 1 Samuel, same chapter, just verse 22. Verse 22. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. Why does he want to worship the Lord? And we saw earlier that when they're giving their sacrifice, that there's worship going on. So Saul just dropped the ball. You're about to lose everything you got. And his final response is, can we worship together, please? Can we please worship the Lord, please? No, it's over, Saul. So for us, our burnt offerings in the place that we see. When you have a certain duty, a certain job, a certain obligation, a certain place you saw, whatever that place may be, you have to do whatever it is that the Father wants you to do. Now, when you start stepping out of the Father's, whatever his plan is, when you step out of that plan and you start doing your own thing, you are now offering up burnt offerings on altars and that are not of the Lord. Ain't got nothing to do with animals. So when you're not obedient to the voice or to wherever he's placed you at and whatever deal you got to do, and when you want to do your own thing, it's no different to the Father than then an Israelite going over down here to Canaan, and you know what? I'm going to take my offering and I'm going to offer it on the Canaanite altar. To him, no difference. Either you serve him or you do not. You're in line with him, you're in bounds with him, or you're not. So don't offer up burnt offerings in the place that you choose. When you look at the festivals and the holy days, the place that I choose, not where you choose. Oh, I'm going to have Passover over here and do my own thing. Did the Father choose that? It's his name on that. You're offering up foul smoke to the high priest, who is who? Christ. Hebrews 4:3, the great high priest. So when we see the examples of the priest filleting the sacrifices, the bulls, they're looking to see if it's contaminated. So when you worship, you pray to God, who's the high priest? Christ. So he's evaluating your worship, your prayer, what's in your heart. Do you have, are you a disgruntled employee? Do you not like what the Father has given you? Backbiting and saying something over here and then praying to God about this. And the high priest is filleting and dissecting your worship, your prayers, your burnt offering. That's what the priests do. They follow protocol. We don't. We're selfish and cowards. But not Yeshua. Not Christ. Once again, back at the very beginning, you better be combing your mind, your heart, the members of your body. If you were here last time I spoke, we understood the members of the body as far as the Greek word of that, where it was talking about criminal intercourse, something, 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 harlot. You can figure that out. You need to be combing every area. Every area. Because trust me, when an offering goes up, when you're sitting there doing your praying, the high priest, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, is dissecting it, and he knows. He knows your heart. He knows your true effort. He knows. He knows. He knows everything. Back then, they didn't know. The priest just take it. I don't see no, look like it's not spoiled on the grill. This word right here, this actual word, if you look in the Strong's, under some of the words of dwell, there's another Hebrew word Ashkan or Ashkaz or Shaka, something like that. And I'm looking at it this morning and I'm saying, hold up, this ain't even the right word. I can't get up there and say that. Real quick. Jeremy, didn't I just have you read Samuel? And wasn't Saul supposed to listen to the voice of the Lord as opposed to the word? So the people in Strong's might take Yashab and mean it for this way, but I'm telling you what Yashab means to you to tell to them. I'm telling you this. Yes, Lord. Psalms chapter 40. So we have now tied burnt offerings from then to our prayers and our hearts and the things that we give up to God verbally. And Jesus the Christ, Yeshua, is dissecting it to see if there's poison in it. Because they would turn you away from the door. If you had a bad offering, if your offering was bad, or once again, you have the clout to bring a bull, but you only bring a pigeon. So in worship, you have the potential to worship, bring a big bull up there for your worship, but the effort you give is the effort of a turtle dove or a pigeon. Once again, Yeshua HaMashiach dissecting it. No, Lord, he can't come into the door. The door of the tabernacle, the door going to the mansions that I've gone to prepare for you in the book of John. Psalms 40, verse 6. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. It goes back to a heart thing. It goes back to your heart. It goes back to you looking at you, whether you're a male or female, old or young, man of God, woman of God, a seasoned veteran in the Lord, a newcomer on fire for the Lord, whatever portion of life the Father had you in, it's you. You have to check yourself out before you start offering yourself, because the high priest will only do what the Father wants him to do. He will not show any favor. So when you got issues in your heart, when you are selfish and greedy and you want what you want, you want to get your light and your light and your fame, and then you pray, what do you think the high priest is doing? When he receives those, will he even give those to the Father? Would that be a sweet savor in his nostrils? No. It will. No, it won't. And he's not. No. Psalms 51. Psalms 51, verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. So are you humble? Is there humility in you? Do you only want to do what the Father wants to do? That's just being humble. We talked about that last time, about the things that we do. We was reading in Romans how, you know, I don't want to do this, but I do it and I hate it. Do you hate it? He's looking at that. If you still do it and you hate it, you hate yourself, you're your own worst critic, the high priest might be like, we can still work with him. But when you're all happy-go-lucky on the outside and you're over here saying this and you're running your mouth, bumping your gums about this, and then you offer prayers to him to go up to the heavenly realm, if you want to gamble, that's your deal. I mean, it's just your soul. That's all. That's it. Just your soul. Proverbs 21. So the burnt offering, your worship, your time, your energy, what are you spending as reference to the Father, as reference to being a follower of Christ? Where's your energy going to? That's your burnt offering. So is it prayer, worship, reading, helping? Oh, what is it? Where is it? What is it directed to? That's your burnt offering. Are you bringing bulls? Healthy, good, woo, it's good. Or you just went and got you a little turtle. Oh man, I gotta get my offering today. Let me get to that quick. Here you go, Lord. No time. So once again, the high priest who came here, lived it out perfect, taught, healed, saved, died, Most High rose him up. You think he's going to let you slide? Come on. Come on. Proverbs 21, verse 3. Proverbs 21, verse 3. All praise to the Most High, for he is good. 21, verse 3. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Enough said. Jeremiah chapter 7. Your time, your energy, your mind. Last time we talked about the spiritual mind versus the carnal mind. Where's your mind at? Which part of the scale is it on? Is it on the carnal or is it on the spiritual? If it's on the carnal, once again, you're in enemy's territory and the Father just have to take that covering off of you. Spiritual, you're thinking on spiritual things, godly things, good things. Them some great burnt offerings. That's great worship. That's great prayer to the Father. And he loves it. We're going to look at some people in the New Testament that's going to kind of hopefully bring it home. Jeremiah chapter 7. I got to get there. Sorry. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 20. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 20. Have to be united together in the same mind of Christ, the same spirit. Verse 20, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man and upon beast, and upon the trees of the field and upon the fruit of the ground. And it shall burn, it shall not be quenched. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice. And I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and will walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imaginations of the evil heart, and went backwards and not forward. Since the day that the fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, unto this day I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. So if this is going on in Jeremiah's time, and this is what the father is saying about the people at that time, and concerning to whether their burnt offerings versus their worship, their time, their heart to the Lord, then what about today in 2012, the people of the Lord? If they were that bad then as compared to the forefathers back then that come out of Egypt, what about us today? How bad are we today? How hard and stiff are our necks and hearts today? If they were like that then, have we gotten better? We don't even acknowledge the words to be true of the Bible. We don't even think it's real. So, and this is not the topic for today, but when you look at the anger and the wrath and the stuff today, are we better than them today? Absolutely not. They were at least doing the majority of the physical stuff. We're physically dead, spiritually handicapped, you know, we can go on and on and on, except for the remnant that he always saves. And the sheep that out there, sheep, if you hear my voice, I'm right there at the door of the tabernacle. And I want to dwell with you. I want to yashab with you. Exodus chapter 10. Exodus chapter 10. And I got 20 over here. How many more extra minutes can you give me? Dang, that's it. All right. All right. Exodus chapter 10, starting in verse 25. Exodus 10, verse 25. And Moses said, Thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not be a hoof left behind. For therefore we must take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. And if you have NIV version, where it says we must serve the Lord our God, it might just say worship. It might just say worship if you have NIV version. Because serve, aved, but worshiper is eved. So sometimes when you see servant, it really just means he's a worshiper. So he's bringing his burnt offerings, this servant, he brought his burnt offerings, this worshiper. How we talk about, for what we do, we bless it to leads and the shofars to bring in his presence. The burnt offering then was to bring in the presence. So what, again, is your burnt offering? And the value of your burnt offering, it's the first of the offerings listed. It must be important to the Father in heaven. He's about order. Genesis 22. I got a speed read. I'm so sorry. I thought I had it. But we're gonna make it work. Genesis 22, verse 1. Starting in verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Remember I said, the enemy, God tempting, and then just us being careless during this time going into Passover season. And he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get him into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of the young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I will go with the lad and go yonder and worship and come again to see you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire of his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both went of them together. Then they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham had built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, lay not thy hand upon that lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And just be reminded that there has been no Mount Sinai, there has been no Torah, there has been no instruction. So once again, it's the listening to the voice, the spiritual ears being open. There has not been anything, they haven't got to that part. There has not been the law of the burnt, this is the order of the burnt offering yet. So just kind of keep that in mind. But you see in verse 5, they're going to go yonder. They're going to have a sacrifice, a burnt offering, and we're going to worship. We're going to worship him and his son. We. So younger people, worship. 2 Samuel chapter 6. I might make it. I just might. People on CD, I'm sorry if I don't make it. I tried. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Starting in verse 13. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone six paces. He sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. And so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window, and she saw David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him despised him in all her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to the women as men, to everyone cake of bread, a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids and of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovered himself." Now I'm going to stop right there. So David worshiped. You got offerings before, after, in verse 13, and then in verse 17, but he worshiped. So once again, what are your burnt offerings? For the Lord. And then I thought something was interesting when it said that he fed the entire people of Israel. In verse 19, the father kind of reminded me of, didn't somebody that we serve feed 5,000 people, then fed 3,000 or 4,000 people another time? The word is good. The word is so true. It just repeats over and over and over. All praise to the Father. John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Verse 31, John chapter 9, verse 31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. So worshiping don't get you closer, huh? Well, let's take a look at a young man. Let's turn to Acts chapter 10. That's John's view on getting close to the Lord. Turn to Acts. And we read in Psalms, it's not your offerings. Where's your heart at? Where's your praise to me at? Acts chapter 10. Starting in verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. You know, a memorial is something that's done to be remembered, but it's done to be done over and over. Don't the fire just keep burning on the altar and the offerings just keep going night and day, over and over and over? And then we see this man right here, Cornelius, who prays to God always. And the angel said that they've come up before God. So I wonder how many years was he doing this? And just all of a sudden one day, We're gonna get in touch with Cornelius today. So once again, what memorials are you sending up? What burnt offerings are you sending up? What memorials and burnt offerings am I sending up? Hebrews chapter 10. Just push it as far as you can. Starting in verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. That's kind of what young man was asking about earlier. For then would they not have ceased to be offered because that the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sin. So they called then the people bringing the offerings or the sacrifices to be offered, he called them worshipers. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So now, when we have an understanding of you bringing whatever you have, whoever you are, whatever you, level of finance or poverty, whatever, and you giving everything you have to offer up to the Lord, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So now you really better be worshiping and praying and sending up words to the Father and having good speak on your lips, because the final sacrifice is happened. That's it. So all you have to offer the Lord are really words, prayer, heart, truth, justice, judgment. 11, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, that same man, that's the one who is evaluating your offerings. He sits by the right, in 12, sat down on the right hand of God, him. That's the one. There will be no slack. There will be no excuses. You better bring your A game. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And when you're at the door of the tabernacle, the altar's going, the offerings are going up, people are where it's so holy. Remember, it was so holy that the priests had to change clothes over and over just to throw away ashes. It's so holy. Peter says we are a royal priesthood and we're holy. That the same holy. It's not a different kind of holy. It's the same holy. Leviticus chapter 12. I'm going to have to speed read. Sorry. Leviticus chapter 12. So we'll turn back to the Torah. Getting close here. Thank you. People on CD, we love you, and may the Most High be with you. Leviticus chapter 12, starting in verse 6. When the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priest, who shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law of her that hath borne a male or a female. If she not be able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring two turtles or two young pigeons, the one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. We're going to look at two prominent women of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 1. So we just read the father's instruction on this, and we just wanted to clarify word on word, precept on precept. 1 Samuel chapter 1, we'll start in verse 20. When it came to pass, when the time had come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And after she had weaned him, she took him up with three bullocks and one ephah flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also have I lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. I did a little background work, and for an Israelite, weaning a child is about a 3-year period. So he's probably 3. My oldest son's 4. So it says he worshiped the Lord there. Now, we saw that she brought up bulls, okay? We just read in Leviticus, right? So I'm not for sure why there were 3 bulls. I think I know, but I don't know for sure, so I don't want to say it from up here. That'd be my opinion. But we know there was a burnt offering and a sin offering, okay? So once again, burnt offering, and the next thing you know, there's worship. And we 3. 1, 2, 3. And he's worshiping. He's going to stay there. To Samuel. He's going to stay there. He's 3 years old and he's worshiping. So as adults, young people in the Lord, where are we with our burnt offerings? Because during this time of year, going into Passover, it is not going to be just the enemy's just going to say, oh, they had a great time with the Lord of Tabernacles. And you know what? They've, you know, just we lose. You're smoking something. He's going to bring everything. Everything to derail you, to keep you from the blessing that he has for you. The blessing is going to happen at the appointed time God has set it. But will you be at the place, the appointed place, the appointed time in which he placed his name there? Are you going to be there? Or will you be derailed? Or will you be sidetracked? Or will some new story or some new thing that you want to do keeps you from being here? My grandma used to say all the time, the devil just sitting back laughing at you. That makes a lot of sense. Keeping you from being where you're supposed to be. So we have to grow up and be young men and young women, or older men and old women in God, and just stick to the protocol. Luke chapter 2. Let's turn to the Gospels. Luke chapter 2. Well, I got close, people. Luke chapter 2. Because he put it on me a while ago to pray on the beginning and at the end, because the people that received it, because you just don't know what they need. So when they, and I don't know them. So when they hear that through the prayer, it's not me, it's the Spirit of the Most High. And that gives them encouragement, confidence, hang on strong. Hang in there. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of this child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. So just by that, we can see what class they were in, right? They brought what they could. That's what they could get. 2 turtle doves and 2. This is the Son of God. They ain't going to cheat. There's not going to be, you know, so this is what they brought. We're following it. We went to the Torah. This is what they brought. Now, something that caught my attention, skim down to verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and she had lived. Wait a minute. One Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she, wait a minute, do I stop there? Sorry, keep going. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. Okay, we'll stop right there. Now, in verse 37, it said that she served God with fasting and prayers all night and day. Once again, if you probably have an NIV or maybe a different translation, it will say worshiped. So what do you think about her memorials going up to heaven? Her offerings, her burnt offerings going up to heaven. She stayed in the temple all the time, fasting and praying. So we saw Cornelius with his offerings to the Lord. We're looking at Anna, her offerings going up to the Lord continually, night and day. She'll have a great treat in heaven. So once again, where are we at with our burnt offerings and our service to the Lord? Where are we at? Where's our time, energy, effort, our mental capacity, thinking, our heart? What is it devoted to? We got lives. We got to work. We got to take care. We got stuff we got to do. But what are you thinking about? Because that's your offering to the high priest, the great high priest who sits at the right hand of God. This is last one. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13.